Sunday morning. Grateful, Father, for those that are here and those that will come. And we ask, Father God, that we would be on one accord and that we would connect ourselves together and then make sure that we are open to the movement of the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, that the word would go forth in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that we would be different, we would leave different than we came, Father God, that you would change our hearts, that you would change our minds. We ask that in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. All right. Okay, let me get my thing together here.
I know.
His eye is on the sparrow. Okay, 1 second. There we go. Man, I love that that song. And if you notice, most of the choir was children.
Yes.
Children praising the Lord. There's nothing better than children praising the Lord. That's why I love that song. I can listen to it all the time.
Yes, bring up a child in the way he shall go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Mm-hmm. And I always say with them, sometimes they stray away, but they'll come back because that spirit is in them, that seed is in them. And so we try to bring them up in the way they should go. And then when you see them stray away, just ask God to bring them back, because they already got that seed inside him.
Alexa, turn off my light. Living room light.
And I think at that time, he must have been about maybe 10 or 11 years old. So that's an old video. I do know that. Mm-hmm. And so he's probably a young adult by now, or at least a teenager in his late teens.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pray that he continued to serve the Lord, because he certainly had that anointing that God had given him. So praise the Lord, Reverend. It's on to you. We're waiting for the word, and we thank God that you're going to bring us the word this morning.
Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about seek God first.
Amen.
God first. Something that we should always do. We wonder why things ain't happening for us and what's going on in life. And that's because we don't seek God first. A lot of people put their homes over God. A lot of people put their children over God. A lot of people put their cars over God. A lot of people put their jobs over God. But we should seek God first. God is described in the Bible as the only God and the creator of all things. You can find that in Deuteronomy 6 and 4. We worship Jesus because he is first above all rules and authority. He alone is worthy of the number one position in our lives. God alone is worthy of that position, number one, and we should give that to him. Matthew 6 and 33 says, one of my favorite, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Seek first. You know, when I read that verse, I think about David. I think about David and Goliath. You know, how did this young skinny shepherd boy go out into a field and tend to sheep, then turn around and defeat a giant? See, David was a man after God's own heart. See, when David went out to fight that giant, when he looked at that giant, he didn't look at the size of that giant. He looked at the size of his God. He didn't look how big the giant was. He looked how big God was. So that's how you defeat giants in life. That's how you defeat issues and problems that are so big that you can't handle them. You remember, well, God is bigger. God is bigger than those problems. God is bigger than those issues. You know, and God does things. When you seek God first, like David did in the shepherd's field. See, when Samuel went to David's house to anoint the next king, David's father didn't even bring him in out the yard. They left him out there. And when God does something for you, when you ask God for something, when you pray for something, and if it's in God's will, that don't mean it's going to happen in a microwave minute, because it's in his will. David was anointed king that day. And you know what he did? He went back to the field and tended to the sheep. It didn't happen in a microwave minute. Matter of fact, the first time that David went to the palace was to play the harp or play music for King Solomon. Even though he was anointed king, like that song, "Don't Mind Waiting on the Lord." See, David didn't mind waiting on the Lord. Even though he was anointed and blessed with oil by Samuel himself, he went back. He went back into the field. And you never know when God is going to bring that blessing on you. You never know when you're going to get that blessing. King Solomon was out looking for donkeys. He was out, his father sent him out looking for donkeys when he got anointed to be king. No idea that he was going to be king. He was sent out, he was in the fields looking for donkeys and was anointed king from looking for donkeys. You never know what God, see, a lot of us think that our purpose in life, we have gotten older and the purpose is no longer. No. Seek God and you'll still find that purpose God has for you. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And we have to listen to God. How do you listen to God? By not confusing the word of God with the word of man. Let me just give you an example of what I mean by that. Go to 1 Samuel 3:4. See, sometimes we get the word from God, but we're like children and we don't obey the word that we got from God. We hear the word, we know the word, and we confuse the word of God with the word of man. We hear the word of man and we do what he says, but we don't understand what God has already told us to do. 1 Samuel 3:4 said that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou call of me." And he said, "I call not, lie down." And he went to lie down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou did call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lay down again." It goes on to say, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, I want y'all to hear this because some of us think we do and we don't, because the Lord is talking to us and we're not listening. We're not hearing the Lord's word because of the word of men. So it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou did call me." And Eli perceived it. He finally caught on that the Lord had called this child. That the Lord had called this child. And that's how we act sometimes. So it's okay for the child not to know the Lord's voice, but we've been around long enough, folks. We know that the Lord don't tell us nothing bad. If the Lord tells us to do something and it's good, it's probably the Lord. If you hear something bad, it probably ain't the Lord. It probably ain't him. It goes on to say, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lay down, and it shall be, if he call thy shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and laid down. And when God called him again, he just said, "Speak, Lord, because your servant heareth." And that's what we need to do when we hear the voice of God. Now, I'm not trying to say, you know, this morning, last night when I got off work, I got home about 10:30 last night, and I was thinking about, you got to get up early for church, and then you got to go to work. Maybe I should call the pastor and tell her once again to, could she do the service? And all I heard was why. And I heard this plainly, and I heard this clearly, why. And I'm like, well, because number one, I don't feel 100. I just got home. I'm tired. I'm going to be tired in the morning, and I should call the pastor. And I heard it again. Why? I woke up this morning and at 8 o'clock, and I said, I'm going to call her and see if she'll do the service. And I heard again. Why? You're going to work. You're going to get up and get dressed, and you're going to go to work. Why? You can't give the word that I have given you last week to give. I gave you this word last week. Now, this is my mind talking to me, I think. But God was letting me know, no, you go ahead and you speak the word for me just like you're going to go to work today. You're going to go to work today so you can speak the word. See, sometimes God wants us to do things and we just don't want to do it and we try to fight it. Just like me talking to y'all right now. The pastor told me many years before I started bringing the word that maybe I should bring the word. And I said, no, I'm going to sit back at this door and I'm going to be an usher. A couple of years. Then she had a man come from her school. I can't remember that man's name. He came from her school and he did a sermon and he was touching everybody. And people was getting the spirit and they was feeling. And I said, I'm going to walk up here too. And when he touched me, all he told me was, you're going to bring the word. And I'm like, huh? I'm like, pastor told him that. I'm like, pastor done told this man that to bring the word and he done touched me and said it. But pastor never told him that. Pastor never told him that. And I could never believe that because, see, I was out there, y'all. Sabrina, hell, you know it. I was out there. Drugs, alcohol, you name it, I done it. I didn't shoot up because I was frightened of needles. That's the only reason why I wasn't a dope fiend that shot up. I was frightened of needles. I see a needle and I get to shaking like Don Knotts. So it's, I'm going to tell you something. God has a plan, okay? I was in my late 50s before I said, you know what, God, I'm going to answer that plan because you can run, and you can run, but there is no hiding place from God. I don't care where you run. I don't care how fast you run or how far you run. You cannot hide from God. If God tells you to do it, you do it. And never refuse the hand of God for the hand of man, because man will always try to confuse you. He will always try to confuse you. And sometimes we get the word, you know, it was a storm. Y'all heard this story before. It was a big storm and people had to evacuate. And, you know, the man was in the house and he was like, God, I know you're going to save me. I've been serving you all my life. The streets got so flooded, a boat came around. They knocked on the door and said, hey, man, we're evacuating everybody. You need to get on this boat. And the man said, no, because God is going to save me. Next thing you know, the water's so high, the man is on the roof praying, and a helicopter comes by, and the helicopter sent him a ladder, and he says, no, because God is going to save me. Well, the man drowned, and he died. And when he got to heaven, he said, Lord, I was dependent on you. You said you would save me, Lord. And Lord looked at him and said, man, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. I hope y'all get my drift. See, sometime, and you got to be careful. You got to be careful who's put in your life. But sometimes God put them in your life. Sometimes God put them there. You know, I was telling Pastor earlier, we lost one of the best coworkers I knew at IKEA, man. This guy was always positive, like me, at IKEA. He was always positive. He was a family man. And you know, and certain people came to me because they know that I'm a reverend. And like, Richard, oh man, this is a bad loss. And what do we do? And I had no words for those people. And I was troubled by that. I had no words for the people. And I came home and I prayed about it. Because see, where I work at, folks, is people from every nation. Believe it or not, people from every country. They do believe in other things. Some have idols, I call them. They don't call them idols, but that's what I call them. Some believe in the I don't know what it is. It looks like a pig and an elephant at the same time. It has the elephant ears, the elephant nose, but a face of a pig. And no disrespect and no, hey, to each his own. You know, God gave us a choice. So that's what they worship, this thing, right? Some people believe in other types of spirits. And so we have them all at IKEA. So you can't walk up to all of them, and when they ask you that question, you can't say, well, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord, because they don't believe in the Lord. They don't believe. So God gave me these words. Imagine this. Imagine a place where there's no more pain. Imagine a place where there's no more sorrow, streets of gold, no more crying, because you don't have to. Imagine that place. And imagine our brother Steve in that place. And then I told him, because your imagination sometimes is truer than your religious knowledge, what you have been taught. You imagine, because see, I don't understand how could they not believe in a place that's better than the one that we're in. If they think this is it, then I think they're sadly mistaken. It's a place for us, y'all. It's a place that's better for us. But how we get there, we seek God, and he will guide us there. We seek God first, his wisdom, his knowledge, and he will guide us to the place where we need to go. He has given us the map. Y'all heard me say this many a times. He has given us the map on how to get through this life. That map is called the Bible. That map is not called Miss Cleo. That map is not called a Buddha. That map is not called Joseph Smith. And y'all know me. I have nothing against none of them, because I believe God allows us to do what he allows us to do. You know, just like, you know, and I said I wasn't going to mention this, but I have to. I have to mention it. I hate this word called lesbian. Okay, and I'm going to tell y'all why I say it, why I say that. That's not one of my favorite words. I don't like to say that. I will say gay, because gay means happy. And if that's what they want to be and they happy, okay, I'm not the judge. God is the judge. I don't like the word lesbian. I have my boss and her lady friend. At first, I didn't too much care for them, but this woman, not lesbian, a woman, got more knowledge than most people in that building. I ain't stupid. I'm going for the knowledge. And I'm not looking at her as what they call a lesbian. I'm looking at her as a person, because you don't know who God puts in front of you to grow you. Can God put a person that believe in that in front of you? Yes. If he could take a drug addict off the street and have him bring the word, if he could take me from the dumpster to the pool pit, then why can't he put a person in there? I'm not saying that that's what I believe in. I'm saying to each his own. To each his own. If that's the lifestyle they choose, I refuse to call them that. And her partner is my homie. Also gives me good advice. I refuse to use that word, because I believe that the route I'm going right now, after all that time at this job, I have a chance to advance. It's a shame. It's a shame. In July, it'll be 16 years I've been there. And now is the only time. And because of a person that believes in something I don't believe in. Now, I'm not going to listen to people who believe in false gods. I just can't do that. I had something here I wanted to read about that. Just, it says something plain and it says something simple. And I think that's Exodus 20 and 3. For you shall have no other gods. Let me run that by y'all one more again, just in case you're confused about the word. You shall have no other gods before me. Yeah, I know. Too near me not to hear me. No other gods before me. That is one of the shortest, most simple, and self-explanatory verses in this Bible. Yes. And people, I don't know. And people use God. I'm going to tell you something. If God ain't tell you nothing good, it ain't God. You hear those people in those countries that I'm killing for Allah. I'm doing this for Allah. You're a liar. The devil is the root of all. The devil kills, steals, and destroys. Allah didn't tell you to kill nobody. God didn't tell you to kill nobody. So don't use Allah as your reason for the war, as your reason for murder, as your reason for killing these children. You know, I'm way off the subject. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Trust in the Lord, y'all. Don't trust in the people. Trust in the Lord. Trust his word. Trust what he says. Don't trust what Miss Cleo says. I don't know why I'm using her name this morning. I got no idea. But don't trust what they say. Trust what the Lord says. And if you don't believe the Lord talks to you, then I don't believe you're listening. Because when you ask him, he speaks. You just have to listen. And you have to distinguish the voice of man from the voice of God. And you always have to seek God first. And when you seek God first, when you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is praise God and thank him, before you get into your car, you say a prayer and thank God. You know, sometimes I be thinking God must think I'm crazy. I pray on everything. These days, this ain't always me. I ain't all of that in the bag of chips. I'm just telling you, I pray on everything. This morning I say, Lord, should I get dressed before church or wait till after church and get dressed for work? That's how crazy I pray. For real. Lord, I know I shouldn't worry about what I'm gonna wear, but what I'm gonna wear today, Lord, that's gonna be pleasing to the customer so I can go do the job that you sent me to do. Before I go to work, I stand on that third floor. I'm so glad that's where our parking is. And I look over, we see mountains. And I thank God for the creation. And I thank God for allowing me to see what I see. I thank God for getting me to work on time and getting me there safely. I thank God for when I walk in the door that I don't hear a bunch of drama. I thank God that I'm allowed to say this is another wonderful day. I thank God that this is the day that he has made. I shall rejoice and I shall be glad in it. And when people look down and I say, how you doing today? It's another wonderful day. Well, this and that and this and that. And I say, well, guess what? Let's make it wonderful. Let's make it wonderful. And then I want to tell them, for this is the day God has made. But you have to be careful when you work among people. I'm not going to call them heathens. I'm going to call them worshipers of other things. But we just read Exodus 20 and 3. You shall have no other gods before me. And we wonder. And we wonder why the world is in so much turmoil. We wonder, why is this world in so much turmoil? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruit of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So the reason why I read that, because I talk about myself as well. I read that because I'm not obedient. I read that because I used to pay my tithes or send an offering or give something weekly to our church. I haven't been doing that because I ain't gonna make no excuses, because I haven't been doing that, y'all. Me, Reverend Robeson, tell the truth, shame the devil. And I got excuses that I can tell y'all why. I got financial problems, I can tell y'all why. When I tithe or gave every week, I didn't have financial problems.
That's right.
Hey, y'all too near me not to hear me. I'm just keeping it real, and we don't ask y'all that at Bread of Life, and we normally have more people, and other people listen. We don't ask y'all. We ain't one of those churches. Todd, give all your... No, we're not that. That's not us. Because Pastor know as well as I do, and y'all do, is something that we should do. Ain't nobody gonna beg you. Ain't nobody gonna ask you every week. Because it's something we should do. And I know that better than anybody. Yes, I'm mad. I'm mad at not y'all. I'm mad at me. I know that better than anybody. See, we ask God for things. We ask God for things, right? And sometime, a year later, he give it to us. And we done forgot. We even asked him for it. Like when I was riding that bike every day to church and work. I would get on a bicycle. I would ride it every day to East Palo Alto, every Sunday to East Palo Alto. After church, get on that bike and go to work because I didn't have Sundays off. I prayed for a car. And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, Lord, my license been messed up since 1980. And it was hard for me to get them. And I prayed for them. A year later, I got them. I forgot how much I prayed for those licenses. And 6 months later, I got a car. I forgot how much I prayed God to take care of this situation. Like I'm praying him right now again. Because, see, I forgot where I came from. So I went back, y'all. So let me run this by you. This is part of the sermon. It's my testimony. This is part of the sermon. My license got suspended for a ticket from 1988 out of Chicago. I'm right back where I was. And you know why? Disobedience. God gave me what I asked for, and I didn't do what he asked. Disobedient. So y'all tired, okay? You tired what you can, or you may not can't do a 10. And so I understand that because of rent, because your credit card. Oh, I'm talking about me. Because of your stuff, you done messed up so much and you in a financial debt. God knows that, but he knows that you can give. He knows that you can give. And this is not what I'm going to base this sermon on today. He knows that you can, but he knows that you won't. Let me rephrase that. He knows that you don't. And let me rephrase that again. He knows that I don't. So I'm making sure I'm getting the address again from the pastor so I can send my checks in. I don't care if they're $25. I don't care what they are because I never had a problem financially until I stopped tithing. Not one time, y'all. And I tell the truth to y'all. I tell y'all the truth. This is the truth. I never been in a situation I am right now until I stopped giving that little bit I was giving to the church. Amen. Richard, don't even smack yourself today. Okay. woo, boy. I tell y'all, when God puts something on your mind, I prayed and I've been disobedient. So I'm going to tell you one more thing, y'all. Then I'm going to wind this up because I got off of what I wanted to talk about. But these are things I need y'all to know. See, God talks to you. And in my sleep, twice, I have woken up and been told to ask. And this may never happen, but I've been told to ask. Can we take a service to the men's house? Can I do the service in the men's house at Free at Last, which helped me to find Narcotics Anonymous and helped me to find Bread of Life Church? Can I go over there and do the Sunday service since they're having a problem coming to us? Can I go to the woman's house, the women's Free at Last house, and do the sermon there one Sunday? Can I go to Hope House and say, hey, I'm Reverend Robeson. I'm a member of Bread of Life Church. Y'all know Pastor Mary Frazier. I would like to do a sermon here with all the people that's in the drug program. That's been on my mind twice in the middle of a sleep. And you know what? I've been disobedient. That probably can't happen.
But I was told to ask. And when you're told to ask, you're supposed to do it. Because, see, it's nothing bad. So it had to be that God was telling me something in the middle of my sleep twice. Those men and women at Free at Last, those women at Hope House need to know us, y'all. Need to know us, Sabrina G. We have been there. We have been in that drug scene. We have been in that alcohol scene. We found God and we have changed our life. We have a new walk and a new talk. I've been on a job longer than I've been in a relationship. I never had a job I kept this long. You know why? Because I'm a blessed child of God now and I know it. I have never in my wildest dreams think that I wouldn't have a joint, a drink. In November, it'll be 17 years. I don't desire marijuana. I don't desire a cognac and 211 beer. I don't desire that no more. And that's because of the grace of God. And we need to let other people know this. And we need to let them know, Sabrina G, from where which we came. From where we got our strength. We know we got our strength from the Lord. But the Lord took us to those rehabs. The Lord took me there. Ain't nobody, it wasn't my own doing. I'd be smoking crack and meth right now if it was left up to my own doings. God took me there. Yes. Amen. I don't know why I went off the subject. Amen. So I'm going to run that by y'all one more again. And I'm not going to talk about it again. I'm going to run it by you again. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruit of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vast will be bursting with wine. So you know what it says. And we're not talking about wine and we're not talking about barns these days. Y'all know what it said. I said I wasn't going to talk about it. One thing that I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in his temple. You can find that in the Psalms 27 and 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in his house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty and the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Y'all, we need to seek God first. Start by getting up in the morning, y'all, praying before you do anything, before you look on Facebook, before your Instagram, before your cup of coffee. Seek God first every morning. Yeah. Seek God first. And pay your tithes. That's all I got to say, Pastor. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Well, praise God. I just marvel at God's spirit and manner, how he manifests himself, because I never would have expected that your sermon would have included a stewardship message. And the stewardship message was about giving tithes and offerings to the church. And I thank you for that. I do have at least one faithful tither. And I honor God for her obedience to send her tithes. She doesn't talk about it. She just does it. And I thank God for her. But the word says, if we bring our tithes into the storehouse so that there's meat in his house, that he will open up the windows of heaven to us and pour us out a blessing that we won't have room enough to take it in. And so your testimony is sufficient of that. You said that when you did what you were supposed to do, your finances were good. So we just thank God for your honesty and for your testimony. And if you want to know where to find that scripture that I just quoted, it's Malachi 3:10. You can start there. Malachi is in the the last book in the Old Testament. So if you want to send your tithes or your offering, I no longer have the P.O. box because it just kept getting more and more expensive. So you send it to 2301 Cooley, C-O-O-L-E-Y, Avenue, apartment 325. That's going to change, and I'll update it when I move into this other unit. But apartment 325, East Palo Alto, P-A-L-O-A-L-T-O, California, 94303. And I thank God for your obedience. And I'll leave it at that, but I'm truly blessed by the message that Reverend brought, because he is showing us that if we seek God first, seek God's kingdom first, then all the other things will be added unto us. That's what that word says. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto you. You see, if we put him first, and I can tell you all of the truth, that I was working for the school district when I started tithing many, many years ago, about 1973. That's when I started with Sequoia High School District. Some of y'all were kids. And my pastor at that time was a man of God who truly believed in tithing. And he made tithing sound so wonderful until you just wanted to try it, because he would just glow when he talked about tithing. And his salary was not a lot of money, and he paid his tithes on the regular. So I began to believe that God wanted me to do that. And I was getting paid once a month, single parent, had two teenagers at home, and all of my responsibilities. But God said, tithe on your amount after taxes, until you can do better. And so I did. I tithed on the net. Then God gave me a new job, making more money. And when I got that new job, God said to me, now you can tithe on the gross, which was really the way it was supposed to be done. But see, God will help you do what you can't do. It may not be everything that it should be, but he'll start you out. So he started me out with the net, but then when he gave me that better job, he said, now you can tithe on the gross. And so I have tithed on the gross ever since. And of course, now I'm retired, and I get a retirement check, and I get my Social Security, and I tithe on that. Because you see, nothing has changed. The money is coming from a different source, but nothing has changed, because it's really coming from God. You know, if Trump had his way, he'd take away my Social Security that I paid into since I was a teenager, because that's how long I've been working. He would take that away from me right now. It's a big fight about our Social Security. And I'm retired now, so from a secular job, and so I need my money. I don't need Trump taking it away from me. So as I tithe, I'm talking to God about stopping this maniac, excuse my expression, and if I'm offending anybody about him stepping on your toes, I'm sorry for you, but I'm not sorry for what I'm saying. So I just have to help me. I just know that it ain't no God in that. So I'm saying that just to back up what Reverend has said this morning. And we here at Bread of Life believe in tithing, but we don't beat you over the head every week about not doing it. We don't ask you to give your PG&E money and all of that. But, you know, the Bible says what we're supposed to do. So if we do what the Bible says, we'll be doing all right. So thank you for being obedient this morning, Reverend, to bring up that subject. And I certainly appreciate your willingness to share your testimony. So as we get ready to dismissed this morning. I see Sister Erica Carson is here as well as the other Sister Erica. I'm thanking God for my granddaughter, and I'm very concerned about Dr. Carson because she has not shown up yet and she has not contacted me. So I hope everything's all right for her. Please pray for her. Please pray for Cedric. I'll check on him today to see if I can find out where he is located, what hospital or where he is. But please continue to pray for him. And pray for those that have been connected with us, the Free at Last women in me. I've got to follow up with Vicki and find out what's going there. I know with some changes in staff. And as far as Hope House is concerned, Hope House used to be a part of Bread of Life, but now they are connected to another ministry, and that was a move that the enemy did to try to keep us from having contact with Surface League and Hope House, and I continue to serve on the board of Surface League. So I'm going to talk to Karen about possibly at least having the Hope House women join us once a month, maybe. But anyway, we thank God for all of you this morning. We thank God for your obedience, and we're asking God to continue to bless you and keep you, and thank you, Reverend, for your obedience. So I've allowed you to dismiss us right now.
Amen. So, Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you for each and everyone here this morning, Father God. And we thank you for the ones who will listen and see us later, Father God. We thank you for them as well. We thank you for everyone that calls Bread of Life their home, Father God. And Father God, we just want to lift up our brother Cedric, Father God, as he's recovering from this accident, Father God. We pray that you put your healing hands on him, Father God. And Father God, we pray for the family of Stephen Burrell, Father God. We pray for that wife and that daughter of his, Father God. We pray your blessings on them, Father God, as they lost the father of their family, Father God. So we know, Father God, that he is with you as we speak, Father God. So we pray, Father God, just a lightened heart, Father God. We pray, Father God, that no struggles for that family as they continue on, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you this morning, Father God. We just thank you for waking us up this morning, Father God, giving us another chance, Father God, to do what is right in your eyes, Father God, and to be blessed in this day, Lord, for this is the day you have made, and we shall rejoice, be glad in it, and be thankful for it, Father God. Many people didn't see this day, Father God. So we thank you for allowing us to see this day, Lord. We pray, Father God, that the things that we do today, the things that are done today, Father God, is suitable in your sight, Lord. So we just thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody.
You said in my...
I'm sorry.
You broke up. What you
said? I said I'll be seeing you this month.
All right. I know you are faithful about that. I didn't call your name, but you know you're faithful about that. So.
Well, we gonna...
Can you send me the address again?
Yes, I'll send it out. After we dismiss.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Y'all have a blessed day. And Miss Carson, you late. Where you been? No, I'm messing with you.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just glad you came. All right, everybody. Have a blessed one.
Bye.
All right.
Have a good day at work.
All right.